Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is an old friend, Zephyr Teachout, a former candidate for New York governor, Fordham law professor, and now a Democrat in the race to become New York's next attorney general. Welcome back, Zephyr Teachout.
It's really wonderful to be on the show. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you here. It really is. Okay, and I am a big admirer of yours. So the first thing that I want to ask you about is the importance of an independent attorney general. Now, I'm going to be very specific here. I know no other way, but we have a governor who is surrounded by people who are going to jail. And he is endorsing, you know, one of your opponents who is running away a little bit from him and saying, well, I'll be independent. But you know how these things work. So I wonder how you feel about it.
Look, independence is really at the heart of the job of being the Attorney General of New York State. Now, in New York, our constitutional structure provides that the attorney general is elected, not appointed by the governor, but elected. That means the attorney general must serve her conscience, the law, of course, and the people of New York. And those are the masters, nobody else. And I've been pretty independent. I guess that's a understatement. I've been always unafraid to call out power. And even in the last few months, there have been several moments where it's been important to speak up about what Andrew Cuomo's role is in the series of corruption trials and in the culture of corruption in Albany, as well as particular things that he is or is not doing. I can give you just one example.
Sure.
We have an agency called J-COPE. This is technically supposed to be an agency that oversees ethics and corruption in Albany. The members are basically picked by political insiders, and the executive director is Seth Agata, who's Andrew Cuomo's former lawyer. People in Albany call it a joke. I call it a tragedy. It's an agency that instead of investigating the very serious problems of corruption and sexual misconduct that really plague Albany politics, has instead protected those in power, not done investigations, not been transparent about its own processes. And in fact, in the Joe Prococo trial, evidence came forward that Seth Agata, who's the executive director of this ethics agency, himself witnessed Prococo using state resources for campaign activity. So Agata has to resign. Now, it may sound like I'm a little in the weeds here, but I'm not, because this is actually about protecting the integrity of our government. Well, it's a no-brainer that Agata has to resign. And I am the only candidate for attorney general who has said this very obvious thing.
So let me put it as bluntly as I can. In the last poll, of course, it's very early, you know, you were not in the lead. You're a person I very much admire. You're a person with guts. Andrew Cuomo has all kinds of issues, but he's way out in front. You're a student not only of the law, but of New York politics. Explain all of this to me.
Well, I'll tell you who is in the lead, just winning by leaps and bounds. This undecided is in the lead. In fact, what we've seen in the attorney general's race is that, and that's why it's so important to be on the show and let your listeners learn about it. A lot of people don't even know what's happening. They don't know anything about the candidates in the race. And I think it's really important that people learn about the race, because this is arguably, if not the most important, one of the most important legal jobs in the country right now when you can't trust the federal government. So I think there's sometimes a tendency to put it in a box with other races and look at it in terms of particular policy positions. But this is actually about legal expertise and independence. And it's the place that can protect the flame of law and the rule of law itself when you have a federal government you can't trust. And then, as we were talking about before, since we have this rolling scandal of corruption that is really enfeebling our entire state, it is the institution that can investigate corruption in Albany. Jay Cope, that I mentioned before, isn't going to do it. The Senate is not going to investigate itself. The Andrew Cuomo has talked loudly about cleaning up Albany since 2010, but it's only gotten dirtier. We desperately need a truly independent attorney general who is willing to investigate corruption in Albany right now.
You did very well upstate when you ran for governor. You know, I'm assuming some of your properties were the fact that Andrew was unpopular. But New York City remains your problem. There you are, you're a brilliant law professor, but the Cuomo name is still the Cuomo name. How do you get people to pay attention?
Well, what we've seen is this unbelievable momentum in the last 3 weeks, really. The race, as you may remember, was not a race anybody expected to happen. Eric Schneiderman resigned not that long ago, and so the race just got started. And we already have now, I think, 1,100 volunteers. In the New York City last weekend, I think we had 18 different volunteer canvases, people going out door to door. And there's we actually have a lot of volunteers that have come over from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's campaign and embedded themselves in our campaign. People who are really looking for new and fresh ideas in politics, new and people who aren't tied to the machine. That's been really important. A lot of our volunteers are young. We have all ages, but it's really exciting to see the youth. And we also, you know, because I have a deep expertise in anti-corruption law, in constitutional law, we've gotten a lot of attention and excitement in the last few weeks because I'm already ready to speak to these issues. In fact, I'm already doing part of the job.
You wrote a book on it.
Donald Trump. I wrote a book on it. I've been working on a legal strategy since the week after Donald Trump was elected, not took office, was elected. I wrote the first New York Times article about how Donald Trump was poised to violate a central anti-corruption provision of the Constitution, the Emoluments Clause. And then working with a handful of other top-notch lawyers, the best lawyers in the country, we filed the first emoluments lawsuit 3 days after Donald Trump took office, demanding that he divest his business interests. This is a high-stakes lawsuit. And I've continued to push that legal theory and that legal strategy.
What's happened with that lawsuit, Zephyr?
Well, there are three parallel lawsuits. That lawsuit is on appeal right now in the Second Circuit. But there has been a major victory in a parallel lawsuit by the Maryland and D.C. attorneys general. In that case, and it, by the way, one thing I'll insist on is New York should be in that suit, as a New York attorney general should be in that suit. In that case, the judge has found, one, that attorneys general are the right people to bring this case. That's really important. Number two, and this is the blockbuster decision last month, is that the definition of emoluments that I have been pushing and others have been pushing for 20 months now, that it is anytime a federal official, including the president, is taking a financial benefit from a foreign government, that's an emolument, that's unconstitutional, that has to be stopped.
And the emolument in this case is that people are trying to win favor with him by staying at his hotels.
Well, I'm going to be a little more lawyerly here.
Okay.
It's that there's any benefit going to the president from a foreign government. We don't actually have to look under the hood and know whether they're trying to win favor or not, because that's actually a lot harder to prove, right? I mean, there's a lot of reason to think that's happening. But the violation happens regardless of motive. And this is something that was really essential to the founders, is that you don't have to prove that the Saudi crown prince is trying to influence our foreign policy when he dumps boatloads of cash into Donald Trump's businesses, improving his bottom line. We just have to prove that the Saudi crown prince is dumping boatloads of cash into a federal officer's coffers. That in itself is the violation. And of course that makes more sense, because you shouldn't have to prove intent in a such a profoundly corrupting situation like this.
No, I get it. Zephyr Teachout, I'm delighted that you're with us. I wanted to go back to state politics for a moment.
Sure.
One of the terrible things that I think happened was when the Moreland Act Commission, which was set up by the governor allegedly to root out corruption, was abruptly halted by him. I still can't get my mind around
either.
That. Go.
I can't either. And we can't ever stop talking about that until we have a new Moreland Commission. In fact, it's one of the reasons I ran for governor 4 years ago, is here he'd set up, I mean, it's so perverse. You set up a commission to investigate corruption in government, and then when it gets too close to people in power and people close to you, you shut it down. And thankfully, Preet Bharara, who I have ultimate admiration for, took the files and took the initial research and added on with his own investigation and brought critical cases against Shelley Silver and others that, you know, looks like the shutting down of the Moreland Commission was designed to stop. So especially after this summer, here we've had this series of cases, and these are horrific cases when you look at it from the perspective of people of New York State begging for economic development money. I mean, the Calieros trial, the Buffalo Billion trial, this is $750 million of taxpayer dollars, of precious money that is supposed to go to desperately needed economic development. And instead, it's going to big LLC donors.
Well, explain that. Stop. Zephyr, there'll be people listening who don't know what you're talking about when you talk about the LLCs. But it is pay to play, right?
It's pay to play, and it hurts people. I think that's really important for people to understand. This isn't just you and I standing on a rooftop talking about corruption because it's bad. It's because, and it's bad for the souls of people. It's bad for people's pocketbooks. It's bad for the state of New York. It's totally unacceptable. Now, Alan, you may remember when Andrew Cuomo shut down the Moreland Commission. He did it through a press phone call. Do you remember that?
I do.
It's been about 4 years. And here's a key fact that was missed for some time, although at the time I called it out. He actually has never formally rescinded the powers that he granted the attorney general in an executive order.
Yep.
When he created the Moreland Commission. So I don't have to, he has to revive the Moreland Commission. We should all be banging on the table until there's a new one, granting full power to investigate and prosecute corruption in government in Albany.
But in the meantime,
I'm not going to wait. When I get in office, we're going to investigate right away.
You know, one of the things about our now disgraced attorney general who quit over misconduct allegations is that he was granted those powers by the governor. In other words, the Moreland Act Commission was both the governor's and the attorney general's. And what happened to Schneiderman?
Right.
What happened to Schneiderman after he closed it? It was this, and he says, "This is my commission. I could do what I want with it," is what Cuomo said. What about Schneiderman?
What Cuomo said.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I wrote a public letter in July 2014 to Eric Schneiderman, pointing this out, saying, "Your powers still exist, and you should use them." I can't tell you why he didn't, but I can tell you that I will not hesitate to use them when I am the next attorney general.
Okay, I want to go on and ask you something because of my admiration for you and because I know Andrew Cuomo fairly well. He doesn't take people like maybe you, maybe me, lightly. I mean, he doesn't, when you cross him, he can get mean. Do you ever worry about that?
Well, he has yet, as far as I can tell, to say my name. I know it's a funny one, but he has yet to do the basic. But this is more serious. Yet to have the sort of, you know, basic decency, just to acknowledge that I have real things to contribute and I'm making very serious points about the state of New York. I am not the slightest bit cowed by Andrew Cuomo, by Albany politics. You know, one of the reasons I'm running is because we got to clean it up. And one of the reasons we have to clean it up is because there's way too much fear. Sometimes I talk to lawmakers who will tell me, I'm sure you do too, who just tell me things like, "Well, you know how it is.
Absolutely.
I can't speak out. You know how it is."
Yeah.
And I think that phrase is unacceptable.
I'm sorry, Zephyr. I had one tell me, "Come on, Alan." I said, "You know what's going on with this guy." And that person said, "I don't like to use gender," said, "Hey, I've got bills he's got to sign. How do you deal with that?"
Exactly. Yeah. Well, one is that you show that people are sick and tired of that, and they can smell fear when they're around it. and they're really excited to have politicians who aren't coming at this with fear. I mean, there's way too much fear at the federal level. There is no excuse for having fear at the state level.
Okay, let's talk about. I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I love having you on.
We got a lot to talk about.
Exactly. I love having you on the show, and I want to get to it all. Republican U.S. Representative Chris Collins, insider trading is the accusation by the Republican appointed replacement for Preet Bharara, who was interviewed by none other than the president. What do you make of that?
I mean, this looks like pretty blatant insider trading. You get a tip, and by the way, he's on the White House lawn at a picnic, and the symbolism of that is not lost on many people. You know, the corrupt culture of the Trump regime is so profound that I think people don't even understand that it's corrupt anymore. They just assume that, yeah, I'm in power, I'm going to use it to get rich. It's a big deal. I can't say it's a big surprise. Organization that I worked with for some time, I stepped down because I'm running for this position as CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, has been raising complaints about Congressman Chris Collins from the beginning. But, I mean, this is over the top, pretty blatant corruption, and I would not expect it's the last story we're going to hear.
And so,
Alan, yeah, is that we need a New York State AG who is going to be an incredibly strong partner to the SDNY, and then also step in areas where the SDNY isn't acting. And I think sometimes people say, well, why don't we just rely on the Southern District of New York? We in New York should not have to rely on the Southern District of New York to protect the integrity of our own government, to prosecute lawbreaking by our own lawmakers.
Just for those people who are listening now who don't know what insider trading is, think Martha Stewart. She went to prison for that.
That's right. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. And in this case, it looks
It's using information that you have to trade on stocks to make a lot of money that you're not allowed to use. So that's the basics of it.
Let's talk gun control. What do you think?
Well, I think it is absolutely critical that New York lead the charge on strong gun legislation. A lot of it's going to happen at the federal level, of course. And as Attorney General, one of the things I want to point out, because this is a law job, is that the deep error here is this 2008 Supreme Court opinion, Heller. This is a case where the Supreme Court redefines the scope of constitutional rights and took away power from communities to pass their own strong legislation. So I think that's critical, but a lot of the action is going to happen at the federal level.
My friend Ken Lovett of the Daily News says a lot of the money that's coming into your campaign is coming from out of state. I'm not surprised because a lot of people admire you, but obviously this is what we call opposition research, don't you think?
Well, I just got to be clear about something. My campaign, I don't take any corporate money. All three of my opponents do. And people all around the state should care about this. A lot of where that corporate money is coming from my opponents, is New York City real estate. They are trying to run the game in the whole state. It's about one-tenth of the entire money in New York politics comes from New York City real estate. I don't take corporate PAC money. I don't take money from big real estate. What I do run my campaign on is low-dollar donations. So 97% of my donors give under $200. And I got to tell you, that means I'm not dependent on anybody. But here's the key fact. I have more New York donors than any of my opponents.
That's interesting.
So they may not be as rich as my opponents' donors, but I have more New York donors than any of my opponents.
That's really interesting. While you're on the matter of real estate, one of the real controversial things is Airbnb. Now, you don't have to be Einstein to figure out that while there may be legitimate issues for curbing Airbnb and rental of whole apartments and things like that, taking the housing stock off the market, I don't think you'd have to be Einstein to figure out that the hotels and the others, the very people you're talking about now, the real estate people, don't like it one bit.
Well, I think that this is a great example of where thinking about different jobs, you want to think about them differently. When you're talking to your lawmakers, you're talking about legislation involving, you know, Airbnb or anything else. When you talk to the attorney general, what you want to know is, what is your position towards investigating lawlessness in a particular industry? And there's a real division of labor here. There's about three areas that I think it's really appropriate for, not appropriate, but that I will use as a platform when I'm attorney general, three legislative areas. And the other areas, I want to talk about the law. The three legislative areas that I think are really critical, and I will use the bully pulpit and the platform for, are campaign finance reform, voting, and mass incarceration and the real crisis of cash bail. But when it comes to something like legislative questions around real estate, what I can promise you is that we have not had an attorney general who has made investigating big real estate a priority. To give credit where credit is due, Eric Schneiderman started moving in that direction about 20 months ago and already had pretty major successes showing the degree of tax fraud of some of the big real estate companies. He brought in a tenants rights lawyer who to lead the Real Estate Finance Bureau. That's a whole area that I think we really need to investigate, because their money is in everybody's pockets right now. So I'm not going to be scared to investigate lawlessness, whether it's tenant harassment or tax fraud, or, which relates to the Trump administration and questions surrounding that, or money laundering.
Are you pleased that Cynthia Nixon, and do you accept with gratitude the fact that she has endorsed you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's a good answer. Okay, and now I wanted to ask you about Attorney General, which some people in New York refer to as almost governor. Are you, or aspiring governor? You ran for governor once. You're running for attorney general now. Do you really want to be governor as opposed to doing this job as attorney general?
I will not run for governor. I want this job. I want to do this job well. And to be frank, a lot of my 2014 campaign for governor was around these exact issues of corruption and needing to have a check on Andrew Cuomo. And I actually think it's really important to make this commitment, because right now, where we are in this country, we need an attorney general in New York State, the center of state law enforcement, who is focused on one thing, which is enforcing the rule of law, protecting against the Trump administration, being independent in Albany with no eyes on any future office. So I can very easily make you that promise, that this is about this race and this race alone.
Well, I live in Massachusetts, but I tell you right now, I'm a great admirer of yours, Zephyr Teachout.
And I
want to thank you so much for being with us.
It's wonderful to be on. Great to talk to your listeners again.
Right, and taking this fight on. Okay, our guest has been Zephyr Teachout, a wonderful, charismatic leader, and we are delighted that you've been with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Al.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gastina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.